Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. May God add blessings to the reading of His word.
Second part, and the women, the third, and all together the last.
Lord, Emmanuel, Good morning. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to our guests and family members. If you are our guests, we have in front of your pew, we have this connect card. We would like for you to fill out and so that we can connect with you. But also for those of our members who need a special prayer request or maybe need a visitation, or perhaps you know someone who will be need a hospital visitation or something, because a lot of times we're not aware of what's going on, and we would like to minister to each other. So if you would fill this out, and we will follow up your connect card. Have you been praying for 40 days of prayer? You know, as a matter of fact, today is the 20th day. We reached half of our prayer request for special prayer. The focus of the 40 days of prayer is that our church would be outward-focused church. Amen? Because it's not about us, what we do. It's about reaching the unchurched people who do not know about Jesus Christ. So we want to be better focused. As a matter of fact, God has asked us to reach out to others. They too need it, but you know, did you know it's more for us? It really is, because the angels and God's grace can convert people's life. But there's something that it does for us when we are outward focused. You know what I'm talking about, right? When you're kind of down in the dumps, kind of depressed and go, you just don't want to meet people. You just don't want to say something. You just want to just stay home by yourself and just stay in a dark room, right? And have the TV on, or perhaps have the computer and just stay and vegetate and be passive. And suddenly someone says, hey, come on out. And you come out a door and that's what it's like. That's what Jesus wants us, not to be selfish and to do something for us. And someone said, you know, CJ, you know, I've been trying to remember. I keep forgetting about who to pray for. We've been tweeting for people to just reminding them. How many of you have a Twitter account? Yeah. Wow. That's pretty good, Amy. I never knew what a Twitter was until this week. I mean, I've heard about it, you know, kind of thing, following. And kind of thing. I don't have a Twitter account. And someone who's a little bit older generation, I won't mention anybody's name, but they said, you know, it'd be nice if you could just email us to remind us. So starting tomorrow, I'm going to email you. And who's fasting? Because someone has volunteered to fast on behalf of our church. And then to pray for the ministry and as a whole, as a church. Will you join me? I know some of you forgot, so it's not too late to join. And it's about prayer and to pray that our hearts will be softened, that God will use. Dr. Albert Belharabian was a professor at UCLA and an author of the Silent Messages, and conducted kind of a long research. And the research result, the one thing that I really like, and I really haven't given much thought about that, is he says 93% of what we say to people when we communicate, or in other words, what I say today is nonverbal. 7% is what I say to you. So in other words, it's not so much what I say, it's how I say it or how I gesture kind of thing. And this is nothing new, right? You already know that. What happens is, if that is true, I would like to take that study and to put it in a church setting. Oftentimes, we church like to proclaim the word, 7%. But what happened to 93%? We like to articulate God's message to people, and those 7% are important. But the 93% of nonverbal, the way that we communicate to others, what are we saying to people? Now think about it. Did I get you confused a little? No. It was so simple. It says, see, give me a break. Well, when I saw this and I thought, how do we project as a Christian? How do we project as how do we communicate? And so in order for us to, it's what we do, isn't it? Our gesture of our faces. Well, in other words, if I told you like this, if I said, yes, 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 you may go. What happened? Was that really a yes? Or I really had to practice this, okay? Here's another one where it says no, okay? No, no, no. You would think, that's so silly. It's just what you said and your motion of your head, your lips when they frown, it just didn't make sense. How often we as a Christians, we tell the world that God is loving in our life, and yet we have such a frown in our faces. And our lives, 93% of it doesn't back up with the words that we say. We have to catch up to that 7% of what we call truth in our lives of the gospel. Will you agree with me that somehow we need to continue to go? And the scripture reading this morning, it says, therefore, encourage each other and build each other up. And this is the focus of my sermon today. Therefore, encourage each other and build each other up. In other words, you and I need to build each other up so that people will say that Christians help other Christians grow. Do you help others to grow? Do you encourage others? Or do you find the church is the last place that you want to just open up and to be vulnerable? And some of you were vulnerable sometime in church. And the church disappointed you. So you said, never again will I be vulnerable. So, thus Paul says to the church in Thessalonica. You know, the context for this, it sounds nice. Therefore, encourage each other. What happens, the passage before that, it says, you know, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. But you know, he says to the Christians there, he says, brothers and sisters, but Jesus is coming. But you're not in the dark. You're in the light. And you're longing for his soon return. And meanwhile, I want you to, this is Yoon's paraphrased version of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But what it says is, therefore, I want you to encourage each other and to build each other up until he comes for you. And you will notice throughout the Bible says we need each other, we need to encourage each other. There is no Christian alone, because Christianity is a movement of a group of people working together, being close together, and to encouraging others. Amen? So he says encourage, work with each other. So the question that I have for you, and I ask myself this question too, do we encourage other? Do we encourage? Do we strengthen? Do we build each other up? Or do we just tear that person down? Make them feel like nothing so you can feel superior to that individual in the church. We want to build people up. And the world says, we want to see that happening in your church. I know that we've been praying for the people outside of church, but you and I need to live the life that God wants us to live. Amen? Sometimes I wonder, maybe God doesn't bring people into church because it'll be more damage to them to be in the church. Because you and I wouldn't be the one who damaged their life spiritually. But not this church, right? It's another church. Other church. Not us. So this morning, the principle that I would like to share, just four basic principles. This really can relate with your relationship with the people around you, your family. You know, your boyfriend or girlfriend or your children, co-workers, whatever it may be. Because we need to help others to grow and that we need to work with others. So I'm going to cover four basic principles, how to help others grow. But as I share these four basic principles, I want you to think about how Jesus have used those principles in the Bible. And now think about that, because they're all biblical. He encourages us, does he not? He builds us up. And that's why most of you are here, because you've experienced a little of his encouragement. So, I don't have it on the screen today, because I want you to focus on your notes. Fill in the blank. So the first one, it's actually, it's four A's. Caress is not the D's. I'm going to focus on the A's. So it's going to be four A's that I'm going to... four ways that we need to encourage each other and to build each other is by showing acceptance. Acceptance. By the way... In the Romans chapter 15, verse 7, it says there, accept one another, just as what? Christ what? Accepted you. Here's a good reason. Jesus have accepted you, have forgiven you, have given you encouragement to be more like, guess what? Because we have received God's acceptance, we need to accept others without any condition. Amen? When Christ accepted you, did he have a condition? He accepted, he died for you. And because of his love, well, guess what happened? When you experience his acceptance, then, only then, true sanctification process started, that which began in the heart, right? Because we can have an outward behavior and our hearts can be so bad, right? So Christ is accepted. So you need to accept others. And you know, when we talk about accepting others, it's choosing to not to belittle people, to demean others. And it's so easy to criticize or to belittle others, isn't it? It comes natural. It doesn't take any effort, doesn't it? Not this church again. But, you know, I struggle with that. And especially when I have a bad day. You know, Caress, you're right. Sometimes we can be mean to our family members. Because, you see, CJ gets paid to be nice to members. Right? Pastors get paid to be nice. But then when I come home, I don't get paid at home. Right? Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? So it's really easy. It comes naturally for us. The way we subtly put others down, we do this. Not we. Maybe I do this. Can you include in we? Okay. Yeah. Not Grim. We accept Grim. We do this subtly. So what happens is our tendency is that, our tendency is to take our strength and project them on others and notice how other people don't quite measure up to our standards. Have you noticed that? In other words, if you're a neat person, you like to kind of put everything in order, different. Your bookshelf is by sizes, by categories, and I'm looking at Manna because she knows my office. It's not by sizes and categories. I'm not a tidy person. And so let's say that you are that individual. So you're tight. And then what happens? You come to my office and you notice CJ's book and all the mess that's on his desk. And the thing that you would say was, wait a minute. I have a neat office. Why can't he have a neat office like me? And we may not say it, but in other words, we can do things right, you can, so it makes me feel good. Does that make sense? And our action and our demeanor, not in words per se, because people don't get the 7%, the 93% of your nonverbal communication says you're a mess. And guess what? People who are messy office and rooms know that they're messy. Do they need to be told again that they're messy? Last week, I went to Columbia Union Pastors Convention. All the pastors from other events. It was nice to see, and they had an all well-known guest speaker, Randy Roberts, and Pastor Henderson from Oakland, and all these well-known preachers came and fed us spiritually and gave us a seminar on how to do things right in the church in your life, and I was tremendously blessed. But one of the things that I really liked was to see all the pastors from Ohio. You know, I used to pastor about 13-plus years in Ohio, and to see them, I don't know why, but some of the Ohio pastors got older. I don't know why, but they got older. But I recognized them. And believe it or not, they recognized me, too, because I used to have a little more hair than here today. So they recognized it. It was kind of high. And then it kind of reminded me of the sermon that I was preparing. I remember one guy that I was looking for, and his name was Pastor So-and-so. Because he may listen to my internet, you know, kind of downloading, and then he may say, oh, he mentioned my name again, kind of thing. So anyway, Pastor So-and-so, I was looking for him because I saw most of the other pastors, but I liked Pastor So-and-so because he had just a gift natural person. He was just bubbly individual, but he was always late for a meeting. Do you have anybody like that? They're just nice going person. They're lovable person. But when it comes to meeting, they're always late. And I knew he was late, but what it made it more of an frustrating point for the pastors was we all took a trip to Israel. And when we take a tour, they tell you, you know, be here at the bus at 8 a.m. or something. Guess what? Everybody waits for the one person. In a meeting, when they're late, they go sit down. But the bus doesn't leave until everybody comes, right? So he would be in the morning, and they would say, where's so-and-so? And you know, all of us are sitting on the bus and just wanting, you know, we want to leave, you know, kind of thing. We wanted the tour. And then suddenly, the so-and-so, he and his wife comes back, walks in the bus, and everybody gives him. And then, of course, because he's so jolly, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I'm so late, my wife, it kind of, but he does it the next day, and it keeps going on. And then I remember, I was running late, I'm sorry, I was not late, my wife was running late, and I was getting on the bus, and on the way, I said to my wife, I hope Pastor so-and-so is late. Because I don't want to be the last person to be late. It's so terrible. That's what they will remember me. The last person was late because of that person. And then we got in the bus. And then we walked back. And I looked around to see if Pastor Souls. He wasn't there. And then I sat down. Oh, that's good. Because he was the last person. The point is this. We put our strength and we project on others. If they don't measure up, I am better than you. What would happen if I am better than you, if I help you to build you up and to support you and encourage you to do better? Amen? What happens is we belittle others so that I will look good. I am on time, you're not. I'm a good speaker, you're not. Or whatever it may be. In the ministry too. It flows in the church. Saying, I am better than you. And we use that for selfish gain. Guess what? God did not give you those gifts for yourself. It's Scripture says to encourage, to build others up. Are we doing that? The question is, am I doing that? I need to look, to see the areas and to accept him. Let me ask you, who do you have a hard time accepting? Don't mention names, okay? Oh, we'll be in trouble here tonight. Who do you have a hard time accepting? Have you ever thought about that? That God wants to use your life to help them to grow. As a matter of fact, the fact that you're having a hard time accepting them means that you're what? You're different from them. Praise God. Amen? Hello? Our life, no matter how beautiful you may think you are, no matter if there was all of you, would not be so beautiful. As a matter of fact, you know, in my computer at home, there's a screensaver. There's a beautiful acres of flowers, just acres and acres of the kind of thing. And I thought, wow, that's beautiful. And then when I looked at this, how about if all the flowers were just one kind in the world? Would it look beautiful? I don't think so. Yet, why do we want everybody else to be like you? We want to mold them to be the way we think, the way that we do certain things. God has given your gifts and their gifts so that you can encourage each other's, to build each other's, so that we can put Jesus Christ, our head of our church, to glorify him. Amen? Instead, sometimes we do the reverse thing. And our 93% shows how much. The question would be, how do you know when you accepted that individual? How do you know when you come to the stage and say, hey, I have accepted you? Guess what? You know what the stage is? Do you know how you know that when you have accepted that individual? When you stop trying to change that person. Did you catch that? If you're trying to convince them to, and I like what you said, nagging them or manipulating for them to change with carrot stick in the front of them, guess what? You haven't accepted them. We know we have accepted them when we stop wanting to change that individual. Oh, that's so hard. Guess what? It's not your responsibility to change anybody. Right? The Holy Spirit said, when God becomes the king of our throne, things will happen. Until that time, instead of trying to mold them to your image that you want, we need to start unfolding them so they will know who they are in Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? So he wants to use us. As a matter of fact, the person that really have accepted me is my wife. She said after the past couple of years, she said, I've learned to accept you and I'm not going to change you. She said, I'm only going to pray for you. It wasn't because, as you think, I am perfect. Of course, you know I'm just kidding. Guess what? My wife was much better wife when she accepted me. Amen? Because you see, when we don't accept people, it just drives us crazy, doesn't it? So we need to learn to accept. Well, let's move on. The second, there are four ways. The first one, you need to learn to show by acceptance. The second is showing attention.
attention. Your scripture says, give a special attention to those who are in the family of believers. Not only that you need to accept the individual, but you need to give attention. It's easy to say, I accept you and ignore you completely, right? Right? You know that happens. Yeah, I accept so-and-so, but I ignore that person at work. Right? And you do your own thing. Guess what? That's why we have acceptance and giving the attention. Why do we give attention to people? It's because we're all God's family. Amen? We're all God's creation. We're all God's children. And especially in the church, we need to give a special attention. Why is it so important? Because you see, when we receive attention, that helps us to grow. Does that make sense? For instance, if I pay attention to my garden, it's going to grow, isn't it? And of the things that you don't pay attention, what does it do? It dies and withers, right? It withers and dies, I should say, right? It's when we pay attention to our kids, then they grow. It's when I pay attention to my marriage, then it will grow. If I pay attention to my work, then it will grow. The more attention I pay to, the more will it grow. Right? What is the gift? What is the greatest gift of love? Someone would say, well, it's a diamond. Maybe it's a chocolate. Perhaps it will say, perhaps it will be a flowers. Guess what? For those who have been married or for dating, a person could give all they want as a gift, but if they don't give you their attention, the gift becomes meaningless, right? You know that, right? Hello, it was such a long sermon with the other one. Are you with me? Was that so profound that, CJ, come on. Right, you know that. You know how I know? My wife and I we have these arguments, and then if it's, either I forget if it was birthday or anniversary. So I figured this is my obligation to give her this gift because it's that day. Without that attention of love. Here, I did my responsibility. The same flower I gave her a year ago, she said, thank you. Right? It's the attention. And some of you are saying, I don't have that kind of attention. Or some of you are saying, well, I'm the breadwinner of the home. I make the money. I pay for everything. I pay for the vacation. I pay for my wife's needs at home and the things that she wants to get. And then you wonder, I'm the breadwinner. Why are they complaining? I give them all the things they want. Guess what? Maybe you need to give your attention. And that's all they need. Amen? Attention. The third ways that you and I can show is to help them grow by showing affection. The same UCLA have studied that, they did research on this nonverbal communication the importance of touch and the affection, and they said that average healthy individual who are mentally and physically who are status of adults need to have 8 to 9 hugs. No, I'm sorry, 8 to 10 hugs a day. When I saw that, I said, it must be per week. Who gets 8 to 10 hugs a day? Anybody get over more than 10 hugs a day? Ariel, I can tell. She wanted to raise hand, but she went like this. You are a blessed woman. Blessed. We need to share appropriate affection. I know Mel always says, now stand up and do your holy kiss. and hugs and stuff. Appropriate affection in the church. We need that. We crave for that. So as a believers, we need to express our affection for each other. Amen? That's why I think it's very important, Mel, at the beginning of the service and even after service, that we mingle and touch and hug and says, hey, believe it or not, perhaps that may be the only touch that individual will get. And the Bible says, love one another with brotherly affection, members of one family, Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Affection. Appropriate affection. I wonder what our church would be like if we accept someone unconditionally. If we should zoom in on the attention of that individual, or if we show affection of giving you their hug or handshake, or these days is the, what is that about? Oh, it's too high? Oh, just a little. Oh, no wonder people don't go like this. And oh, I'm sorry, but yeah. There is a little bit of touch there. That does something to us too, doesn't it? Oh, it hurts. It does. The last one I want to share is showing appreciation. Brothers and sisters, appreciate those who work hard among you, who lead you in the Lord and teach you. To appreciate. You know, we hear it so much about our real estate. You know, oftentimes we call it appreciation. You know, the house value goes up, doesn't it? Or we have another words, when the house value goes up, what do we call that? Depreciation, right? Depreciation in the house market was crazy. But if you purchase a car, when you walk out of the brand new car, when you take that car and turn that key and drive it, that car has been depreciated, right? There's no value as much as you paid for. And so when we appreciate each other, we raise those individual value up high. When was the last time when you appreciated someone and you raised their value up high? Can you think of a time? When was the last time when you said, at home or your workplaces or even in the church, thank you for your commitment to this church. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for this bulletin that we get every Sabbath. Right? Thank you for taking care of my kids. You know, your kids are children's church, and there's Sasha and others who are keeping them, trying to get them to learn more about Christ while you sit here to enjoy God's presence. When was the last time you said, Sasha, thank you, raising her value of her ministry? And I'm not just talking about Sasha. I'm talking about other areas of our ministry, our deacons, our greeters, our administrative assistants throughout the week answering phones and hearing all your complaints. Well, not this church. I'm sorry. Not this church. We never complain. What would happen to our church if we raise each other's value? I'm wondering what happens to us when we do all that for? We accept, we show attention when we give our affection, when we appreciate. And if you look at all those, hasn't Jesus have shown all those forces in our life? You will find out from book of Genesis to book of Revelation that Jesus have accepted, have given attention, have given his affection, have given us appreciation for what we do in our life. Amen? It is he who gives us strength. And some of you are saying, well, CJ, no one does that. That's right. No one does it. It starts with you. It starts with you. It starts with CJ. To raise, to give, so that we can grow. Because you see, people will grow in a safe environment. Amen? Because you see, fear or unacceptance without the attention, without the affection, without the appreciation, it kind of puts us in kind of in a, it paralyzes us. Our creativity don't function because we're fearful. Do you know what I'm talking about? What would happen in your life if you got all that? Oftentimes we wait for the last time when they're leaving or when they're dead on a funeral service, we tell them how much we appreciate them, don't we? Several months ago, I went to Michigan with a Sam and Joy baby dedication. And I went to Toledo. After 7 years or so, this was my first time going to Toledo. The reason why I didn't go to Toledo was because sometimes it's an awkward situation for the previous pastor and kind of thing. But because I was invited, then I went. And I had a warm welcome from people who that I pastor and kind of thing. And they said things to me that I've never heard that what I did, because I didn't remember what I said or did, but they said I did. And there was one particular lady who did not like me when I was pastoring that church. Even though I'm paid to be nice, people don't like me. Which is okay, because we're different. Amen? So if I'm putting the biblical principle together, because we're different, I accept you and I'm going to raise your value and we're going to love each other. Amen? So I knew this individual didn't like me. I mean, you know when people don't like you, right? Because that 93% nonverbal is very clear. And so this individual, you know, because every time I go in the hallway, when she sees me, she quickly turns somewhere else. And because I'm paid to be nice, I'm always trying to say hi and kind of do my responsibility as a pastor. And then, of course, I left. And then I went back, and that individual, I saw them. I saw her, and I was greeting people out and saying bye and kind of thing. And that lady was waiting there for a minute or two. And I'm trying to finish this conversation so that I can get to her. And then after a couple minutes, I finally got to her. And I said, so-and-so, nice to see you. And I hugged her. Guess what? She hugged me back. You know, there's individuals who said, don't touch me. Not this church, but other churches. But here she was. And then she says, I want to welcome you. You know what she said? She says, I miss you. You what? I'm wondering. Now think about this. My life would have been different if I knew that she liked me when I was there. My life would have been different if we put these four biblical principles, if we practice in church, my life would be different. Right? Her life will be different too. She would have gotten this hug every Sabbath. And I would have gotten a hug from her. But what happens is we wait for people to move or perhaps to die to express our attention, affection, and all different things. Even with our own children. We wait too long. We do. You know, my Jessica is going away for college. For those of you who've experienced going away, and I'm trying to spend all my time just cram it in as much as possible. Did she learn anything? You know, all the things that we've been teaching, kind of cram it in so that when she goes to college, she'll remember all this. Do you know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one? Do you know what I'm talking about? Or maybe it's just me with my personality. You know, you just, in the back of your mind, you wonder if your children will live the principle that you have taught them on their own. And so you cherish the moments and kind of thing. And so I tried to do things like really go out of way. And then I'm thinking, why didn't I do that many years ago? Why try to cram it all in at this kind of, you know what I mean? What would have happened if, with my relationship with my daughter, my relationship with my church members, my relationship with you? Folks, my relationship with you are not all that right either, right? I'm aware of it. I sense it. You sense it, right? You mean you don't sense it? I shouldn't look at an individual. You mean you don't... That 93% is loud and clear. We need to get it right. Because Jesus wants us to be right. Because until that happens, we are not going to be the light and the salt of this community. Do you get the point? We can pray for unchurched people, but there's things in my life that need some changing. That needs to be, I am sorry. I value our different personality. I accept you. What would our church be like? What would it be like our church? It's only determined in your circle of influence in the church that you can make a difference by accepting others, by showing attention, by showing affection, by showing appreciation for another. I'm accepted. I'm loved. What would happen? It's up to you, really.
The tithes and offerings. Pastor was sharing with us the four ways that we can help others grow and that we can encourage and build each other up. And I was sitting there thinking about the tithes and offerings. And I was thinking about maybe this is one of the ways God helps us grow, helps to build us up in helping us in how we view money. You know, it's not about how much we give, but it's just how we view the gifts, the resources that He's blessed us with. And maybe after giving back so much to Him, it just becomes natural to value the blessings and to manage our money in the way He'd like us to. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the message today, and we pray that the funds collected will not only be a blessing to others out in the field in our missions, but also be a blessing to us. In your name I pray. Amen.
trouble everywhere. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. To thy friends despised, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thus we'll find a solace there.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with your presence. And Lord, as we leave this place, you're still going to be with us. And we're so thankful for that. Lord, we're reminded to accept, to give attention, to express our affection for one another. And then also to appreciate others. But Lord, it sounds so easy, words. Well, when it comes to applying those in our lives, it's not easy. So Lord, help us to be a sermon in our life, to practice what we hear. But Lord, I know it's not easy because it's real hard for me to do it. But one thing I do know, Lord, when you reside in my life, you give me courage to do all four. You give me security. And so, Lord, help us not to focus on those four things, but to focus on you. So that because we have you, those things will come a byproduct of our relationship with you. So, and Lord, I pray that our church will be that church. That our non-verbal communication will be louder than our words. So that your name will be uplifted at CMC. That it would draw all men and women and children to you. That is our prayer, Lord. For your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.